Now what the hell is you looking for? Can a young man get money anymore? Let my pants sag down to the floor. Really do it matter as long as I score? Can't my car look better than yours? Can I have a bad bitch without no flaws? Come to see me without no drawers. In a stretch flex with about 10 doors. I was murdered, P. Diddy name it. Did it for the money, neck and you get it.
Yes. This is the Game Manx Podcast. This is episode 213. Today is November 24th, 2013. And I'm your host, Brooklyn, coming to you live from ATL, GA, USA, East Coast, all that good stuff, North America. And we have, certainly last but not least, Scatino, a.k.a. Scat, coming to you live from Manchester, UK. Woo!
What up, what up, what up?
I feel like we just gotta have energy on this podcast, man. Like, so much shit is going on. So much shit. It's so exciting. And we have a lot to talk about today. We have a lot to talk about. It went from nothing to something, which is like life. Shit is dead until it's not. So we have the PS4 launch. We have the Xbox One launch. And it's a good division mix because I have the PS4 hardware. Scat, you have the Xbox One hardware. Oddly enough, we each have different ones. But that's good. So you're hearing, you know, some from each of us. So, you know, that's all good. So let's get into it, man. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Also, we have Tearaway, right? You have that as well. And so let's just jump into it, man. I mean, what do we want to talk about first? Like, do you want to jump in on Xbox One first? Do you want me to get into PS4 first?
I want to hear about PS4 just because, you know, you had some things to say this week.
I did.
Which I found quite interesting, so...
I did. I was pissed. I was very... Okay, this is what happened. I was disappointed. Like, I had a really crazy week. The PS4 dropped on Friday, and I had a flight out to New York at, like, 2 that day. So, I called, you know, I just got mine pre-ordered through Amazon. And I knew I wasn't going to be home when they delivered it on that Friday. Because UPS hits my house last. Like, they'll come at, like, 8 at night, 7, 8 at night. And I was like, damn, if I fly out at 2, my PS4 is going to be sitting at my door all weekend, and somebody could just snatch that shit, like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't like asking people for shit if I could do something myself. Like, I don't, you know, I could have asked a friend, hey, can you come get this or whatever, but I was like, you know, I called UPS and said, hey, can you guys, you know, change the delivery date to Monday? And she was like, yeah, sure, you know, basically, if you pay $5, you could schedule whatever makeup day you want them to bring it. So I was like, fine, whatever, $5. So I got online, paid the $5, told them, hey, can you deliver it Monday when I'm back from New York? And I did that, and then Monday comes, and they don't show up.
Damn.
So I'm like, wait, I paid $5 to schedule a delivery date. Okay, put it this way. I have Prime, okay, granted, but... Initial delivery is still paid for. So I'm paying $5 on top of that, and you still can't get my shit delivered right. So I call them up, I'm bitching. The chick is like, oh, we'll try again tomorrow. So I have to wait till Tuesday to play it and get my shit. And then the dude comes at like 8 at night. So I didn't really get a good chance to like jump into the shit, because all week I've been having like work events. So like 1 week out of the month, people from other offices in the country fly into Atlanta and we go out for dinner and we have drinks, and it's all this like after work shit I gotta do, right? So I really didn't have any chance after work to like really sit with it and play and, you know, have any time. So really, Thursday I got a little bit of time, but Friday I did, you know, like, it wasn't until this weekend that I really got to fuck with it. But when I did play it, my initial impressions weren't really that great. Like, I guess I was kind of on a media blackout for the most part, but it's really initial impressions. I'm just going to warn anybody who's getting one that I was just like, yo, this is just like PS3. Like, it's like an iteration of the current XMB. Like, the new PlayStation, you may have seen screenshots with all these fancy boxes, but the reality of it is that the dashboard or the UI is really like, it's like the XMB, just it drops down a layer. So I was just kind of like, really? Like, y'all couldn't have, like, came brand new funky with the new console? Like, you know, but once you get used to it, it's pretty slick and it's sophisticated. It's not like, it doesn't feel like a game, you know, it doesn't feel like too kiddie or anything, which I appreciate, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I'm glad they didn't go the bubble route with, like, on the Vita.
Oh, God.
I'm not into the bubbles.
The bubbles is so fruity. Fruit Loops. I agree. I mean, it's just like, yo, it's like a toy, right? So I was kind of like, about the UI. And then, like, I booted the system up, and then it had to do updates. And then I was just running into problems. So initially it says, hey, we have an update for you. And I'm like, cool. So the shit, it's a 300 and something megabyte update. And it updated it. I mean, it downloaded the update and then it went to install it and it froze. So I'm like, what the fuck? It froze. I backed out of that part of the menu. And then it's like, oh, hey, we need to download the update. And it downloads the update again. And then it doesn't do shit. And then I'm like, all right, fine. So I find a different place in the UI to download the update. And it finally updates the shit. And then it was like, all right, cool. So that wasn't a really good first impression because, you know, like, the PS3 was notorious for these fucking updates and patches and shit. So it's like, really? Your patching system doesn't even work well? And that was one of the things you guys were, like, on stage, like, background patching, play while it patches, you know, and all that shit. And then all the games I put in had to be patched, right? And some of them you can't start without the patch, and it's like, oh, you can't use online without the patch. So it was just a really rocky introduction to the system, you know? And then I finally booted up Killzone, went straight to the multiplayer, and I was just kind of like, oh. No, I think I booted up Battlefield first. Went straight to the multiplayer, and I was like, you know, like, it wasn't, it wasn't better than what I was, you know, because I was playing Battlefield on PC for, like, the last year or two, and I even had Battlefield 3 on PS3, and I thought it looked like shit on PS3. I mean, I'm just, you know, to be fully honest, I thought it looked like shit. Like, if I posted a screenshot of Battlefield on my PC and a screenshot of the PS3 capture shot, one looks muddy as hell and the other one looks crisp, you know, with the lens flares and the, you know, lighting. And it's kind of like, I felt like the PS4 version of Battlefield 4 doesn't look as good as my PC, right? My PC looks better than the PS4 version of Battlefield 4. And my PC version of Battlefield 3 looks better than that. So I was kind of like, eh. But the more I got to play it, and I was playing about an hour of it today again, it's a damn good version of the game. Like, you know, it's not, like, as good. I mean, I think what really changed my mind about the PS4 in terms of the graphic fidelity was considering the fact that the shit is only $400, right? Like, it's $400. And honestly, my graphics card was like $250 when I bought it, right? So if you really want to break down the investment it's going to take to pump out graphics at 1080p, that's 60 frames per second, you know, like, you're going to spend a good $800 to $1,000. So
yeah,
having a system for $400 that you could just get, you know, really good, I would call it really good graphics you know, is not a bad thing. Like, it's, you know, and the more I played it, the more I was like, all right, you know, I see that they basically can't make the graphics look super duper dope because they have to account for the effects, right? Because what you don't see when you first look at a game like Killzone or Battlefield is that the explosions, the destruction, you know, all of the little effects that go around the graphics. So I'm sure, you know, taking all that into consideration, the game is really good. But let's go back to the hardware. So I think, you know, the UI at first was really underwhelming. But, you know, the more I mess with it, I'm like, all right, it's cool. It's a good starting point. You know, I did really like the XMB, so, you know, there are no ads on it, which is awesome. I feel like some things are just broken. You know, like, I've had games crash on me. I've had apps crash on me. I've had Hulu Plus crash on me. I've had Crunchyroll crash on me. I've had a couple things crash a couple times. I've had Battlefield crash, and not during a game, though. Like, most of the crashes I've seen has been when I'm trying to multitask. So, like, if I pause, if I, like, swap between game to go read a message, and then I'm coming back to the game, or if I'm in Music Unlimited, queuing up a track, and then I'm going back to, like, Killzone or something else like that, I've noticed shit crashes sometimes. So it's, I think they still, you know, you could tell that with the shit, they have a lot of shit to work out. So the system itself is cool. I love the controller. My Astro headset doesn't really work. My Astro headset works in terms of audio, but the chat functionality doesn't work. It's incompatible because the Astro headsets have this USB thing you plug into the front, and it gives you chat, wireless chat, but it's not work compatible yet. And so it's pretty cool. Like, I figured out how to use my Samsung TV remote to control the XMB, the PS4 UI. So there's a trick where you go into your TV settings and you go to ACEC. You might have seen it. Let me get the exact term for it. ACMI or some shit. It's like HDMI ARC or whatever it is. It's another name for it. You'll see it in your options for you if you have like a Samsung or some of the other types of TVs. And basically what it allows you to do is use your TV remote to control, like, to keep, to like use the, go back and forth in the XMB, the PlayStation UI, and you could, like, you know, pick a TV app, or if you're watching a Blu-ray, you could actually use the stop, pause, play functionality on your remote. Samsung, I think Sony TVs have it as well. I know Sony TVs are going to do it, but if you've noticed that your, like, Samsung or Sony remote has, like, video controls at the bottom, you could actually use that. And for Blu-rays, I know it works, but for apps like Netflix, it doesn't really work, but you can go forward and back and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool because there's really no PS4 Blu-ray remote. So that's pretty cool. So I did that. I tested out the Vita to PS4 functionality a lot. So I did a lot of messing around with that. And it works. Yo, it works way better than I thought. Like, it really does work. So I think that's the good news. I tested it out as far in my house as I could, and the shit plays awesome. Like, no lag. You basically register your... You launch the PS4 app on your Vita, and then you register it on the PS3. They give you a code, and you punch it in. And then once it's synced, you can turn on your PS4 from your Vita if you want, and then... Basically, it's kind of like if you use Remote Play before, your PS4 dash comes up, your PS4 UI comes up on your Vita, and you could just scroll through it like how you would normally.
Yeah.
And the back touch becomes the either R1 or R2 or L2 or R2, depending on the game. Some games switch it up. But the back touch becomes those buttons. And also the clicking in the stick. So the top two back touch boxes become the R2 and L2, and then the bottom two become the left stick and right stick, clicking L3, R3, or whatever. And it works awesome. Like, I jumped in Killzone Online, I jumped in Battlefield Online, and I played Need for Speed Rivals via remote play, and it works. I mean, I think the only issues that I had with it weren't really the fault of the system. It's more so, like, the sensitivity differences of the Vita's analog stick versus the PS4 controllers is, you know, it's, like, way different. So I was playing Need for Speed Rivals on the DualShock 4, and then going to the Vita, the stick is way different, so it's easy to oversteer and all that stuff, right? So you have to kind of get used to it. And the same thing for, like, shooting games, where you become so accustomed to, like, you know, since it's Twitch, how much you have to move the stick to kind of line up your shot, so that becomes, like, an issue. So I don't really know how feasible it is for those types of games where its precision is important, right? Because essentially you're relearning to play the game each time you switch, like, control methods, right? But the fact was that it wasn't, I couldn't really detect much lag, if any, you know, in playing it on my couch or on the toilet or all the way in my bedroom. I mean, I've tried all of them, you know. So I, and even in my bedroom, I've had a hard time getting Wi-Fi signals, because it's like the way my place is constructed, it's like on a weird angle, and like my Wi-Fi router doesn't even get a signal that far. And I was able to sit on my bed and play, like, direct connection PS4 to Vita, Need for Speed, online, perfectly, you know? And yeah, the shit works. It just works. You're getting the audio, everything, right? I have my headphones in it. I'm getting the audio. I had Music Unlimited playing. I was playing, like, Black Star, and I was listening to, you know, Most Def and all that shit, playing Need for Speed Rivals all the way across on the other side of my house perfectly. So it was pretty cool. Like, so that shit works. I don't know what else to say, but, you know, I think they still have some shit to work out with the UI and stuff. Like, any questions about the system itself? Oh yeah, with streaming and stuff like that. We could talk about that.
Yeah, what's the Twitch stuff like? I mean, is it as easy as it looks to be? You know, like one-hit streaming?
Yeah, it is. It is. So basically, when you're playing, let's say I'm playing Battle for Killzone or whatever, if you, it's always recording your last 15 minutes, right? So it always has your last 15 minutes saved at any given time. And I guess it overwrites it as you play, right? When you press the button, basically that's like a stopping point. That's saying, "Hey, I want this footage." So it'll stop. It'll keep that footage in your library or your folder, right? Your video folder. And if you hold the button down, it takes a screenshot and puts it in your photos folder. So you have that, right? But then if you press the button quickly, it'll pop up the menu that says, "Hey, do you want to stream this video, or do you want to share this video, or do you want to share a screenshot?" Right. So it's like, okay, hey, do you want to share the video? And if you click that, it pops up this whole login to Facebook bullshit, and it's like, like, to me, I have no interest in sharing video on Facebook, right? So it's kind of like a wash for me. And I don't even really know where that goes or how that's handled, right? I don't know if it's like a link posted on Facebook to a Sony webpage that, I don't know, because I'm never going to do that. And then you have the share a screenshot, which I haven't even fucked with either. I don't even know, because I haven't really, right? Right, so, but I have, if you click start a broadcast, right, you click that, then it gives you two options. It says, do you want to use Twitch or do you want to use Ustream? And then, of course, I click Ustream. And then if it's your first time, it'll say, hey, connect to a, you know, connect this to a Twitch account. And I logged in my Twitch stuff. And then it's boom. It's like, okay, hey. So once you do that, you don't have to do it anymore, right? So you do that. And then it basically asks you if you want to start broadcasting. And then it asks you, do you want to broadcast with chat audio or not? So you can do three things. You can just broadcast your game, right? You can broadcast your game with chat audio, like how we would like do our like let's play, you know, with your talking over it.
Yeah.
And then you could click the third checkbox where you could also have like the PlayStation camera recording your face. So you could have like the little like your face in the window, you know how a lot of streamers do that, and then the game, you know, footage. You know, Talon does that a lot or whatever. I'm not sure if you guys are doing that too. But you know, that's just common shit, right? So you can do that, which I think is pretty funky, right? It's a reason to actually get the PlayStation camera. And also, I don't know if you've been checking the internet about people doing, like, porn and shit on PS3. You've seen it, right? You've seen, like, the people reports of that. So basically, you have people having their own, like, living room shows where they're... instead of streaming game footage, they're actually, like, on their couch... talking and I've read some shit. I haven't really seen it, but I saw some shit where they were saying there was a guy and a girl sitting on the couch talking and then drinking. They were like drinking until they passed out, and then the chick passed out and the dude like pulled her shirt up in front of the camera or some shit. Did you read that too?
Hilarious.
So there was that, and there's, you know, a lot of other shit that people were doing, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, people are fucking assholes, right? Like, why? Motherfucking people will find a way to take a technology and just do some crazy off the wall shit they're not supposed to. So.
Well, to the incident.
Crazy, right? So the jury's out. Like, that just happened this weekend, and we don't really know what Sony and Twitch are gonna do about all of that. Because, okay, so there's a channel on XMB now. You know how, like, for PS3, you have the stuff that you can't remove, right? Mm. For PS4, you have the stuff that you can't remove is, like, Music Unlimited, Videos Unlimited, which is, like, Videos Unlimited is kind of like their, you know, I want to rent James Bond for $4.99 and all that bullshit that you probably hardly ever do unless you're, like, snowed in with a chick. So you have that, Music Unlimited, which I think is pretty cool, actually. And, you have, like, your TV apps, which is, like, you go there and there's, like, Netflix and Hulu and Crackle and all the other stuff like that. And then they have one that's called, Play Memories, is it? They have one I haven't messed with that has all of the little demos that they showed at E3. And then they have the other one, which is like, basically like broadcasts or whatever. And it's like Sony, whatever. And you go there and you can basically browse all of the Twitch broadcasts that are coming from PS4s, right? So you can basically see what other people are broadcasting from PS4s. It's kind of like a isolated tag cloud of just PS4, Twitch, or Ustream streams, right? So that's kind of where people are able to just go in and see all this shit. I mean, of course you could see it on Twitch as well, but people are, you know, it's kind of like people are trying to be popular by having these crazy ass shows, and I don't really know if it's something that Twitch is going to have to, like, ban people on, or is it going to be PlayStation's going to have a report feature, but I don't really want this to be a trigger for Sony to, like, put more restrictions on streaming, because they're already... One of the things that I am disappointed about with the functionality of streaming on PS4 is that you can't archive your streams. So Sony currently has it disabled in terms, like, you can't, you know how on Twitch, like, when you broadcast live, it automatically archives it?
Yeah.
You can't do that with any stream from PS4. It's disabled. And the people from Twitch have said, Reddit myself, that that's a Sony thing. Sony on their end has disabled the ability to just automatically archive what you stream from. So it basically, it's live and then it's nowhere, you know? Which is stupid as hell, right? Because it's just stupid, you know? So that's a really huge, cause I, you know what's funny? Like, I actually had streamed a bunch of shit this weekend of all of the games that I had, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm gonna, like, you know, go to Twitch, queue it up, and post it on the site, because you know how the functionality is there to do that if you make, like, a highlight.
Yeah.
Dude, I went to Twitch, none of it was there, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I went and read up on it, and I was just like, oh, that's some real bullshit. So, I think that's really disappointing, and I don't know how Xbox One handles it, but as I don't know if all of this drama with the people doing the naked shit and...
Well, I can tell you exactly how the Xbox One handles it. It doesn't, because there is no broadcasting feature on the Xbox One until early 2014.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
Damn. Okay, that settles that.
Well, I'll get into all that in the Xbox One part of the show.
Okay, true. So, damn, that's kind of eye-opening. So, yeah. So, I don't know. Is there any other particular questions you had about...
What about the trophies? Like, it... Well, actually, before, like, the trophies, like, are you able to see people, like, on your friends list who may be playing Vita games now? Cause,
you know what?
Because obviously when, like, you're on the PS3, you can't see your friends who are playing Vita games, but if you're on the Vita, you can see those who are playing games on the PS3, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So, I can see, like, you and everybody else who are still on PS3. I haven't seen anybody on Vita, and I don't know if that's because none of y'all are using Vitas. And I can't see myself, right? So, I don't know. That's the short answer. I assume so. I assume so, but I'm not 100% sure. Because it does, like, have, like... You know how on Vita, like, it'll show everybody and it'll show the little symbol for, like, what system you're on?
Yeah.
It does that on PS4. So it has a little rounded bubble, and it says PS3 or PS4.
Right.
So I see people playing PS3 games in my list. And I can send them messages and all that. And obviously the messaging works cross-platform. So I'm assuming, yeah, with Vita, but we, you know what, we'll know next week when I'm in New York and you guys get your PS4s, because I don't think I'm going to bring my PS4 to New York.
So, well, what about the trophies then? Like, do you get to still see all your trophies you've gained from the PS3 games, or
yes,
is it just PS4?
No, all of your trophies, your trophy count is the same, your star count, all your level is the same. So, like, I had somebody sent me a friend request, and I was like, who's this? So, you know, you compare games to say, you know, I'm trying to figure out what game we were playing that maybe, you know, they might have been a multiplayer game and they decided, hey, I, you know, whatever. And it shows all of your trophies, but it has that same little bubble next to them that says what platform, right? Vita, PS3, which is really cool, right? To have that persistent count and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
so I mean, that stuff is lost.
I'm definitely looking forward to Friday to actually getting my system. Waiting.
So, I guess I should just jump in talking about the games and just get it over with.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, at first I was kind of underwhelmed by the graphics. Like, I was just kind of like, I don't know if it's because I had unrealistic expectations of what it was going to look like. The only game that right off the bat, like, blew me away in terms of, like, everything about it, in terms of, like, the look of it, how it played, was Need for Speed Rivals. And I really think until yesterday, four or five days of me having a system, that was, like, the best game. I was considering that the best game of the bunch, because it really looks like a next-gen system game. Like, it looks like how that game, I would think that game would look on my PC, you know? Mm-hmm. It has great graphics, lighting, effects. The environments are really good. The sense of speed is awesome. It feels like, this is kind of, to me, it feels like they took all of the lessons from each of the games and took the best parts of the Need for Speed, latest Need for Speed games, and just made one game. Like, it has the environments from Need for Speed. What was the other one? Not Most Wanted. One before that.
Hot Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit. It has the cops element of that. It has the environments of that Hot Pursuit. You know how it had like the really nice forests, right? The really nice forests, the really just all of that stuff. And then from Most Wanted, it just has like the better handling, and it's just awesome. It just feels like a really good mix of both of them, you know. The world is really big. You could go anywhere. It's just dope. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, so basically you have this big world map. I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song. You have a big world. You basically can drive to a spot and then press L1 and then, you know, you start the race or... And basically, it's always online for the most part. Like, so when you start the game, it'll load like 6 other people into your world, right? Into your map, or 8 people into your map. And they're just people racing around the same kind of part of the world as you are. Like, based on your level, right? Where you are in terms of your progression. And then, so basically, like, the first time I started the game, I just saw like 2 dudes just whiz by me going the opposite way on the street. With like 8 cops behind them. I was like, yo, what the fuck is that? And you know it's a real person because you could see like their name over the car and they're just flying by. And I was like, yo, that's crazy, right? So I'm like, all right, fuck it. So I keep going and then I was like, nah, fuck it. So I do I hit a handbrake and I do a U-turn and I go back and I join the fucking, you know, then the cops start chasing me and shit and I gotta get away from the cops with this person. So as when you pass anybody who has been loading into your world, any other like human opponent or human player, you can press L1 if you're behind them to like trigger an event, and usually that's like a race. It's like get to this part first, or I think there are other kinds of events too. It might be like smash each other, who can smash the other person and stuff, but mostly it's races. So it's really cool. Like, it just feels fresh and it feels alive, right? It's not just AI drivers you're racing against. It's like people. I probably race more people than I did random computer racers. And, you know, I think when you combine that with like the level design, which is like, it has some of the Burnout style, like you'll just see random ramps, bridges that are ramps, you know, and shit like that, that you could just kind of like try to get the biggest jump. And like, it has like, for most wanted, no, what's the other one, Need for Speed, Most Wanted, you know how in Most Wanted they had the like speed parts, or the parts where it would take a photo of you and you try to like see who could get the fastest speed in this leg of the world.
Yeah,
it has all of that on there, and it'll have like you know, the player's name, or you just, you know, you were going 26 miles per hour, or you were going 100 miles per hour, this person went 210, you know, and they'll like rank you. And I've seen people on my friends list on there and I'm like, shit, you know, or I'll whiz by it and I'll beat them in it. So it still has that, like, it really is a combination of like the Need for Speed games, and I think it handles really well. Like, drifting is really easy, all of that stuff is like refined. So I didn't really like the drifting in Hot Pursuit. I liked it more in Most Wanted, and I think it's like somewhere even better than that game in terms of the controls. And like, it's dope, man. They have a lot of effects, like when you're driving, like lots of things to like, it kind of even, like, I even had a moment where I was like, yo, this, I could totally see that being a game that we all play, kind of like MotorStorm, because just like some of the shit that you could do in it, like in terms of like all of the things around, like you have cones and you have traffic lights and all of the things they put in the world for you to like hit and run over, and like little jumps and side routes, and like some of the cool stuff about MotorStorm is like, you know, the dust being kicked up and like you're flying through leaves or water is splashing or it might start raining. Like, it's dope. Like, the actual weather effects, the lighting, and just the like effects from the road as you're driving adds to it. Like, because I know it's fall now here, right? So like, even today I was driving and, you know, you could see the leaves and stuff behind the cars, and like, it has those effects, and it's like really well done. Like, it really feels like a next gen game. Like, it's really dope. It's really dope. I definitely recommend that if you're into racing games. So I played that, and then let's see, Killzone. So at first I was just disappointed. I was like, oh, this game doesn't look that dope. Like, it's so different.
Was she just going off the multiplayer aspects of it at that point, or had you played the single player as well?
I had played both, so I think I'm up to like chapter 3 in the single player. At that point, I was up to chapter 2, so I had already beat the first chapter and a little bit of the second, and it's just different. Like, so let me talk about the multiplayer first, right? So my first impressions of Killzone were just that I felt like they were going in the Call of Duty direction, because the style of the guns really had a very modern military vibe to them. You know, like, the machine guns, all like, there's nothing spacey about them or whatever. And it just, I don't know. And I think when you play the game, you'll see what I'm saying. The scopes look really grounded in like modern military tech, and all of that stuff. And honestly, the multiplayer deathmatch is a lot faster, and I think the graphics weren't as crisp as I really expected them to be. So I was like, yo, it gave me a Call of Duty vibe impression, because I'm used to, like, Call of Duty is a game that I know I expect, and I've always been greeted with the fact that the graphics aren't really that great, right? It's always been a little jaggy and muddy and all that stuff, because they never really upgraded the tech behind it. But it's fast, right? Like, the precision and the feedback you get when you're aiming, and the twitch aspect of all of it is really, you know, it has the 60 frames per second shit going on for it, right? Well, Killzone now has that, right? So it's now running at 60. It may dip a little bit when a lot of shit is going on, but it's now where that, you know, Modern Warfare is in terms of that frame rate. And you could feel it, you know? So for me, it was a little change in like, oh, whoa, you know, what is going on here? This is not really what I like about Killzone, you know? It's faster. But the more I played it, the more I realized that it's dope. It's different, though. Like, you know, your favorite guns are not there anymore. So the default Killzone rifle that's been in 1 and or 2 and 3 is not there, or I haven't unlocked it or seen anybody with it. Which was my favorite gun, right? Even in, like, Killzone for Vita. Like, I'm always picking that rifle because I own with that shit, you know? And it's gone, right? But the replacement gun is dope, you know, like, so the classes are different. It's a lot different, but I think it's like, now I think the game is really great, you know. The UI is really fucked up and weird, and it's like confusing to like read shit on it, and it's really weird. You'll see. But you have deathmatch, hardcore deathmatch, search and destroy, and then you have like classic Warzone, which is like, you know, the rotating maps, you know, the rotating game modes over a single map. And basically what they've done is, and I think they've done it to kind of keep people playing the Warzone, is that if you play Deathmatch, you only get to pick from three maps. And right now, currently, I double checked, you can't make your own games. Like, you know how they, like, Killzone 2 had the servers where you could kind of, like, create a custom game and then people would join it? Now it's just a default. So, if you play Deathmatch, you're only going to get to play from three different maps. And the three maps, to me, are not the best ones. Or one of them is alright, eh. But if you play Warzone, like, the maps are dope. Like, I think the maps are really, really dope. And there are 10 of them. You know, you got 10 maps. They're all really well done. I really didn't have any that I'm like, oh, God. I think the forest map is, like, my least favorite. And that's, like, one of the main ones that comes up in Team Deathmatch or Deathmatch. But the other maps are dope. And they're, like, some of them have, like, vibes of older Killzone maps, but not too close to where you're like, oh, here we go again. Like, you know, you have like your Radic Academy kind of like map. You have like your, like a lot of the ones that you remember from part two that you might have liked is like kind of there in spirit, but it's not the same shit. And they've like, the maps are bigger and have more entry, there's like more doorways and ways to get around shit. So like, there's less like bottlenecks, right? So if people try to like, you know, like hold you down and into a spot, you can always get around it and like set up a different kind of trap. So it's pretty dope, actually. Like it's like one of those games where you have to play it to like, I don't expect anyone to like it if you don't give it a chance, because I almost gave up on it and was like, oh, fuck this shit. But I just read some people online. I read some people online like, yo, this is dope. This is dope. Oh my God, this is great. And I was like, really? Like, this don't seem that great to me, you know? And then I jumped back in it and I was like, all right, let me play this shit some more, or let me play a different mode, because three maps out of 10 isn't enough for me to like make up my mind. So once I hit Warzone, Warzone is where it's at, man. Like that, it's really, really fun, you know? Because then you have the like, search and destroy, where you got to go plant the charges on the target, and then, or defend your target from people to plant, you know, preventing them from planting their charges. You have the getting the beacon and putting the beacon, you know, it's kind of like football, right? You got to grab the beacon and put the beacon in the special spot. And then you have like deathmatch. And those are like the basically like the three main modes, but then it rotates. So it's really cool. It's really cool. Like, I think that multiplayer is fun. I probably end up playing that more than Battlefield. And let's see. Battlefield, so we also have Resogun and Battlefield. So let me talk about Battlefield. Battlefield 4 is good. It's like, it's cool. Like, I was playing that again today. I played a couple hours of it, of the multiplayer. It's just Battlefield, you know? It's Battlefield. It's better in terms of, like, the guns feel better. The graphics are better. So, like, I think what they've done is they basically took it back to Battlefield Bad Company 2 a little bit in terms of the destruction. So, like, in Battlefield 3, they had destruction, but I feel like in this one there's a lot more again. Like, shit blowing up, people blowing holes and shit falling, you know, all that type of shit is back. And if you like, I don't see why anybody would play Call of Duty anymore. Like, honestly, now, I think that they've found the perfect mix between their core formula and, like, what people like about Call of Duty, because the deathmatch modes in Battlefield 4 are fast, but not too fast. It's fast enough to where, you know, you're getting a lot of kills, but it's, like, it's not always a one-hit, like, one-shot kill, right? Like, to where if somebody gets to drop on you and shoot you, you don't always just die instantly. Like, I've had instances where I got hit with a bullet or two and I got the red shit on the screen and I was able to, like, you could slide, you know, slide or duck behind something and then kind of, like, get around them. So, which is what I've always liked about Battlefield over Call of Duty. I always felt like Call of Duty was one of those, like, whoever gets the first shot off is gonna, like, win, you know? And Battlefield, I've always felt, is more deliberate and felt more like a gun battle. And I think 4 is even more refined in terms of that, like player health. You know, there's like a health aspect to it and all of that. And, you know, it has all the guns and all the attachments and all of that type of shit. And I've been doing pretty well in the multiplayer, and it looks good. It has a lot of effects. There's this one stage that I played in multiplayer where it just started thundering, like, thunder just started, and it started raining and shit, and it's like, oh, shit, like, out of nowhere, right? Like, so you're playing, and all of a sudden it's bright, and the next thing you know, it's raining, and it's thunder, and it's like, I thought it was really well done, you know? And that's when I realized, I was like, all right, you know, they've kind of, like, maybe they weren't able to, like, do the best graphics in the world, but the effects make up for it. There's a lot of effects. Shit blowing up. Like, when you shoot at people and it's, like, concrete, like, the concrete chips away, right? So, like, if somebody's behind something, you could legitimately shoot at something till you get through it, right? You know? And Killzone also has some of that, too, where some of the environments, you literally can just shoot through it if they're trying to hide, you know? Which is pretty dope, like, because you might have them in a corner, right? And you could kind of, like, blow it up with the destruction. But Battlefield definitely does more of that. And there's a lot of effects that they have, and shit blowing up and muzzle flash. And it's pretty dope. I mean, I think that anybody who played the PS3 version or the Xbox 360 version, I think, I can't speak to the Xbox One version, but the PS4 version visually compared to that version is a huge upgrade. Visually, you know?
Mm.
Definitely. So I think it looks like a PC, the PC version on like very good settings, like maybe like high, you know, not ultra or anything, but it's like on high, which is damn good. You know, I think it looks good and I've enjoyed it. I think it's a good game. If you want a military shooter, yeah, it's dope. So I haven't even tried all the maps yet, but the ones I've played seemed cool and fun, and yeah. It's cool. The only weird thing about that game is that it's, like, inconsistent visually. Like, sometimes you're walking around and you're like, this shit doesn't look that great. And then sometimes you're walking around and you're like, wow. You know, it's not consistent at all.
So, like, did the switch up the handling of the vehicles at all? Because I remember Battlefield 3, you know, I really wanted to fly the jets, and then I got in a jet and I could not control it whatsoever. It was like too complicated to fly that shit and shoot that shit, you know? So have they done any sort of tweaks there?
Damn, I haven't even done that. I haven't even played those modes yet. Like, to be honest, I only played Deathmatch. I haven't gone into, like, you know, that's like Conquest and Rush, where they have the bigger maps with the tanks and all of that stuff. You know, in the boats, you know, they also have boats in this game. So I haven't, maybe on next week's podcast, I can, whenever we have the next one, a couple weeks, 2 weeks, you know, either you'll have tried it and I'll have tried it and we could talk about it, but I haven't had a chance to yet. But that's another thing. I'm like, why would you play Call of Duty when you don't even have to, but if you wanted to have vehicles, you could have them, right? As a part of the game, like, I don't know. I just think Call of Duty is dead now. Like, after playing that game, I don't see how. I think it scratches all of the itches. Like, it does. It has the guns, it has the twitch, it has the, you know, it has all of it. It has more. It has destruction. Like, to me, it's doing so much more. I don't see what it doesn't have. I don't see why people would still want to play Call of Duty, other than the name recognition. I don't get it. I just don't. But anyway, you know, that's just me. I don't. So that's kind of, you know, I don't know. That's kind of like that. Okay, and Rezogun, right? So let's see, Rezogun. Rezogun is all right, man. Honestly, I think it was a little bit overhyped. In the media and like in reviewers. I mean, it's fun game, but I got bored of this shit. Like, I beat the first boss, the first board. At the end of the board, you fight a boss or whatever. And I don't know. I just think you're going around in circles. Like,
Literally.
Yeah. And it's like, alright, like, it's like, it feels like an old school game you might have played and put quarters in an arcade that was like Space Invaders or Defender, I think they say it's like Defender, like, but it has cool graphics and, like, effects, like, when shit explodes, it has all these, like, voxels, they call them, they're like little particles. Everything blows up into these particles, and it's cool, but it's not a game that I could play for long, extended periods of time without getting bored. Like, I play one game of it, because a game could last maybe 5-10 minutes, and then after that, I'm good, like...
Yeah, but is there anybody on your friends list giving you competition on the leaderboards?
Ah, that's true, too. There's nobody else playing it.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's true.
Come Friday, I'll be on that leaderboard.
Come Friday, you'll be number 10th. You'll be 10th. But it's free, I mean, so you can't really complain about free, though.
Exactly. I mean, like, Super Stardust, I think you take Super Stardust on its own, it's not exactly the greatest game ever, but the competitiveness, it comes from climbing those leaderboards, especially when you're trying to take on your friend's high scores. I think that's where it gets its edge. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I think if Resogun has that as well, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's definitely one of the games I'm most looking forward to playing on Friday. You know, so...
True, true, true.
And like you say, it's free, so...
Yeah, it's free. So, one thing about Killzone is that the chat doesn't work. So, they don't even have chat enabled. So, that's supposed to be coming in an upcoming patch. But there's a lot of weird things. Like, you could tell, like, they were trying to get this shit done for launch. All around, all across all of the games really that I played, you could see little things that, like, are unfinished, right? But, I mean, if you consider the fact that studios like Naughty Dog were able to, like, push games further than, you know, like, I want to see what a Naughty Dog game looks like. I want to see what the Santa Monica Studios game looks like. You know, I mean, they already said that Uncharted is coming out for it.
I know, we haven't even mentioned it yet.
Right, so for our first batch of games, they look really good. Like, honestly, once I got past my, like, initial gripes, like, now when I play Killzone, I'm like, yo, this shit looks fucking dope. You know, because you start seeing the lighting and the effects, and you're like, alright, the shit is maybe not, like, super duper crispy, like a PC game, but yo, it's damn good. Like, it's damn good. Like, it is a upgrade from, like, you know, PS3.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, like, on YouTube and everything, I think a lot of people are getting hung up on the graphic side of it so early. I mean, right. At the end of the day, we are looking at launch titles here.
And it's easy,
Yeah, and the majority of them are cross-generation, you know, so there's probably only so far they can go when they're putting the games on 360 and PS3, then PS4 and Xbox One, you know what I mean?
But right.
It's not something I'm overly concerned about at this point in terms of graphics. I mean, we all know. I mean, look how good The Last of Us looks in Uncharted 3, and that come out 5-6 years into the PS3 life cycle.
And I think you can't look at that. What you have to also consider the effects, right? So, like, it's like, okay, you can't just say, okay, why is there, like, no anti-aliasing, or it's not super-duper crisp anti-aliasing, but when shit starts happening, is it really slowing down, right? Like, especially, like, in Killzone and, like, Battlefield, like, once you see 7 people on the screen and you see everybody shooting and the shit is not slowing down and you see the smoke and the smoke looks dope as fuck and, you know, you see all these effects going on at once, you start to give it a little bit more leeway. Like, alright, you know, there's no way they could have started out with the game looking perfect 1080p and been able to push those kind of effects at the same time, right? And the lighting that you're seeing, and the rain effects.
Yeah.
Lighting and rain. And I think if you, like, if they would have just made it 60 frames per second, 1080p, and cut down the effects, you might have been like, this is boring. So it's like, you have to find a medium of lighting and effects that is going to give you a better experience. I think the experience of it is dope. Because, like, there's some legitimate levels that, in, I know in Killzone, where you're like, yo, this shit looks creepy as hell. Like, the lighting is dope. It looks creepy and scary. And then when you start hearing shit explode and you see the screen shake, it's like, oh, wow, this is dope. You know, I'm feeling
yeah,
this.
I mean, and I think, like, definitely what you said, I can't wait to see what Uncharted is going to be like, or the next game by Sony Santa Monica. I think when we see them games and them games don't look like they're pushing the system, then I might start being concerned.
Right.
Because we all know Naughty Dog and Sony Santa Monica are going to come with these graphical powerhouses.
And they have time, and they have time, and they can build off the lessons of these other people too, right?
Yeah. So. But I think if they come out and we're seeing, you know, not quite 1080p, if they go like the 900p route, like a few of these games are doing, still hitting the 30 frames,
right,
and, you know, it's not looking very good, then I might start getting concerned about the longevity of the system, especially, obviously, PCs have come out every year bigger and better, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think I just want that Uncharted game.
So, I know that, let's see. So, Killzone is 60 frames per second online, right?
Mm.
They say that it dips, but it's, yeah, okay, so it says Battlefield 4 is 900p and 60 frames per second on PS4. So, I'm saying they're doing the 60 frames per second shit, and maybe that's why it feels great, like, in terms of the feedback, in terms of, like, playing it. Like, I really felt like, in terms of responsiveness, both games feel awesome, you know? Like,
yeah,
you don't feel laggy or all that stuff. So that's a win over the PS3 versions of those games anyway, you know, off the jump. Killzone has never been 60 frames per second, and Battlefield, I don't think, is 60 on PS3. I think it's 30, right? So, whoops. But, yeah. I wonder if they're going to come out with a Kratos God of War game for PS4. I don't know. I think they're going to announce, what's the other game? By Team Ico, Last Guardian.
Yeah.
That has to come out. That's going to be at E3. Infamous, it looks dope. I was watching, like, some videos of that game. That game looks sick. So that's going to be dope. Watch Dogs is going to be dope. I mean, to be perfectly honest, we could talk about that in a little bit. But
you know, I've just been thinking, like, I think the whole 30 frames and 60 frames per second argument, you know, I know a lot of people talking about, oh, you know, 60 frames is where it's at, but I've just heard you talking about how good Need for Speed The Rivals is, and that's actually 30 frames per second.
I know. It is, but you know what it is?
It just goes to show.
It's different, though, and this is what I think the difference is. Well, yeah, I think you can make a dope game at 30, but I don't know. I'm not the biggest frame rate whore at all. I think what Need for Speed Rivals does, though, to compensate for that, is that the effects they add, they basically make up for that with effects. So, like, and all of those effects add to the illusion of speed. So, for example, when you're driving, you have, like, either it's dust or it's leaves or debris on the road that flies up, and it, you know, like, it does it in a way that is definitely makes you feel like it's a next gen kind of thing. You'll see, like, it's just the way they manage the effects. You know, even you may be like, I was driving around this, like, lighthouse or whatever, and there were, like, waves crashing up on the pier or the edge of the water where I was driving around, and I was like, yo, that shit looks kind of dope. So it's kind of like they basically compensate with that by effects, and then also I think that the turns are kind of like, I don't know. I think if it was 60, though, it would feel better, but I don't know if it's because I'm distracted by the effects or what, but I think you're right, though. Like, 30 frames per second is definitely doable and you could have an awesome game. Like, I mean, look at MotorStorm, right? Pacific Rift. That wasn't a 60 frame per second game, and that shit was hands down, we all loved it, right? Yeah. Great sense of speed, but also what they did was they used effects, mud effects, dust effects to kind of help you feel like you were like driving fast and doing shit. So I think, I don't know, I need to spend more time with Need for Speed, but that game is dope. I think that's one of the. I think that's one of the sleeper hits of the launch that, you know, didn't get a lot of buzz, but yo, like everybody's like, yo, this shit is dope, and rightfully so. So definitely check that out. I think I'm glad that I actually caught that on the Amazon deal, where the 2-for-1 or whatever, and I'm kind of glad because I wasn't gonna buy it, but it's cool. Actually, I've been wanting to buy a Wii U. Like, I almost bought one today, this morning. I almost bought a Wii U because I've been having the itch to play Mario, man. Like,
yeah, but them Mario reviews are great.
The way I feel about Mario is the way I feel about Big Macs, dude. Like, every once in a while, I gotta eat one. And every once in a while, I gotta play a fucking Mario game, you know? And those reviews are fucking off the chain, like you said. Like, shit. Like, are you gonna get the game? The 3D World? Whatever?
Hell yeah.
Fuck. That game looks so dope.
It's a 94 on Metacritic.
It looks so fucking dope, and everything I've been reading, people are like, oh my god, the music is so awesome, I just wanted to leave it on the overworld map on this level because it's just like the best music ever. And I'm like, fuck you. You know, but I don't, I was almost bought it, and then I actually bought my mom a Chromebook that was like $260 instead. I was like, fuck it, cause she'd been like, oh, my computer's bad, I don't get on the internet. So she better use that shit too. And she was doing a guilt trip.
I'm definitely picking up Mario. I think it drops here on Friday, but I don't think I'll pick it up this Friday. I might wait until nearer Christmas, sort of like a little Christmas gift to myself, see if I can catch it in a sale. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to be playing it on Friday when I get a PS4. And all them games, so it'll only end up being sat there for a few weeks anyway, but I will definitely get it at some point.
That's smart. I think I'm going to try to catch a Black Friday Wii U deal. If I do, I'll get it. If not, I'll just wait till I catch a deal. But they have those bundles out now that are kind of insane, like the Super Mario, what is it, the new Super Mario Brothers and the new Super Luigi bundle, where you get both of those games for like $29. It's just kind of nuts. I don't know.
Yeah, and I was playing some Wind Waker HD the other day as well. It was on Friday when I was waiting for my Xbox One to actually be delivered. So I've sat downstairs playing Zelda, and I was having a lot of fun with that game. And that game was great. And that game's 1080p 60 frames per second. So,
right. I know. I want to play that too.
I mean, the art style of Wind Waker is just amazing. So.
So let's take a quick break, come back, finish talking about Nintendo shit, and then get into Xbox One, and then all the other good stuff we got going on. So let's do that. Represent.
Tell your best, met the gal
But yeah, back on Nintendo, man. So I've been hearing really great things about Super Mario 3D Land, 3D World, and also the link between worlds, Legend of Zelda for the 3DS.
Yeah.
I mean, people are talking about that game like it's like ridiculously great. Like, Nintendo's coming with that shit, but like, I don't know what's gonna happen to them, man. You know?
Oh no.
Seriously. I mean, they're getting drowned out in terms of like what people are talking about. I mean, dude, I was in the drugstore earlier today getting some photos printed, and I was at the cash register getting some like, what was I getting? Some candy or some shit. And the little kid was like with his mom on the counter, and he was like, I'm getting an Xbox for Christmas, and doop 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 doop, and Xbox this and Xbox that. And she was like, his mom was like, yeah, and the Xbox costs $500. She was like, I don't know if you're getting an Xbox, it costs $500, yada yada yada. And I was like, okay. But look, he didn't say I want a Wii U, right? He didn't say I wanted a 3DS. He said I wanted an Xbox. So, I don't know, man. I haven't bumped into anybody, even casual people, who've like mentioned wanting a Nintendo Wii U.
Yeah,
have you?
No. To be honest, I don't know who Nintendo are trying to market the Wii U at.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think there was a definite, you know, a definite worldwide agreement that the Wii was marketed at the more casual gamer, at the family.
Right.
Where I think, well, in the run up to the launch of the Wii U, they were kind of like, yeah, we want to go for the core gamer, this, that, and the other. You know, they got the Bayonetta game, Bayonetta 2. But now it's like, I'm not too sure where they sit with it all. Yeah, and I'm not sure who's actually interested in it. You know, it's like you say, I mean, how many people are you hearing talking about a Wii U?
None.
Everywhere I go, on Facebook, you know, people on Facebook, pictures of the Xbox One, pictures of the PS4, ain't nobody, and I've got a lot of, like, chicks on there with little kids, ain't nobody talking about buying a Wii U.
None. I think they fucked up by calling it a Wii U. They should have called it a Wii 2. Or something. They should have called it something else. A Super Wii or something.
Yeah.
Super Wii would have been the best shit they could have did. Because the hardcore fanboys would have been like, oh, it's like the Super NES all over again. And then people would have been like, oh, the Super. You know, add Super in front of anything and it's like better. Supersize me, you know.
Yeah.
Calling it Wii U is just dumb. It was dumb. Very dumb move. That's probably one of the biggest marketing blunders I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it don't make sense. And I think, again, I think the whole online integration of it, again, it hasn't been done very well.
Yeah.
I think they really, they just missed it again. I mean, obviously, the Wii didn't really have them kind of capabilities, but I think the Wii U should have been really pushing that online social integration.
Well, you know what? If they truly intended to like be like a third party type of platform, you know, like a platform where people who make games for PlayStation or Sony consoles and Microsoft consoles could also have a port for Wii U, they should have had that same kind of online functionality. But the reality is that it's not easy for Activision to make a Call of Duty for Wii U because it doesn't have the same types of like online capabilities, right? Like, or it's not probably not as easy to like just port it over, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think they really took it seriously. But
yeah, I mean, it's like the Mario games and the Zelda games, them first party games are going to be great. We all know that because Nintendo can make great first party games, but I don't want my system being sat there and only being used like once every couple of years when a new Mario game or a Zelda game comes out.
I mean, that's the proposition though, right? I mean, if you look at it objectively, let's say I buy a Wii U tomorrow. I'm gonna play Super Mario 3D World. I may play fuck around in New Super Mario Brothers. And then what am I gonna play? Right?
A tiny bit of Zelda until Bayonetta.
I might beat Zelda. You know, Zelda is one of those games where 50-50. You might beat it, you might just quit, right? Like,
yeah.
Zelda's really a 50-50 proposition. Like, I know that nowadays. Like, it took me a while to really come to terms with it that I'm either going to play a couple hours and abandon it, or I'm going to really just get hooked in it and finish it. And really, half of the time, I do finish it, and then half of the time, I just quit. Like, Twilight Princess, I finished it, and then what's the one after that?
Skyward Sword?
Played, like, 5 hours of it, and was like, I just quit. I was like, fuck it, I'm good. After the second level of doing the same shit over again, I was like, this dungeon is like another dungeon. Oops, I got the boomerang again. You know, like, fuck that. You know, so it's not enough, man. It's not.
I mean, but I think they really need to, like, sort some shit out, because the Wii U's been on sale now a full 12 months. And how many is it sold? I mean, the PS4 pushed 1 million units in about 24 hours in the US alone.
I know. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said that. Because that was the thing that was like, wow. Because, okay, the PS4 pushed 1 million units in North America alone. Xbox pushed 1 million units worldwide. So basically, Xbox got smashed, really. Because, yeah. Look, think about it. PS4 is going to launch in Europe and Asia still. So if they push 1 million units in Europe, that's ridiculous. Even if they push 500,000, that's ridiculous.
And I think you're hard-pressed, at least in the UK, to find a PS4 for launch day.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of places are guaranteeing them for Christmas, but I think for launch day, you're going to be searching around a whole lot to try and just walk into the store and buy one. So, you know, Nintendo ain't pushing them numbers. The Wii U isn't going to be like the Wii, where you can't find it and it's got to be that must-have gadget for Christmas, you know? This is coming up to its second Christmas, and it still ain't like that. So, it's a rocky road.
Yeah.
For Nintendo at this moment.
So that I'm hoping to take advantage on Black Friday if there's like some kind of crazy sales. So,
but again, I think what's not helped Nintendo particularly this year is I think they focused way too much on that whole Year of Luigi shit.
And it was, what the fuck was that all about?
I know, it's like, every time they've done a Nintendo Direct, it was something to do with Luigi this and Luigi that. It's like, yo, there's only so much we can take. Give us more of a reason to want this system.
Dude, they didn't have one. Surprise! Surprise,
yeah, well,
that was it, motherfucker.
They had nothing to show, so it's like, okay, let's just think of some bullshit. Gear of Luigi, we're doing all this around Luigi because we ain't got no other games. Nobody wants to support us. I mean, where the hell's EA at? I mean, when they come out at E3 showing that screenshot of Battlefield, everyone was like, oh shit. Battlefield never turned up. EA then turned around and like, yeah, we ain't making games for the Wii U. You know, it's like, well,
they're like,
what,
yeah.
The hell?
Yo, Wii U is the new Vita.
Yeah, like, wow.
Vita is like the new whatever, and like we use the new Vita. Like, Vita is selling as much, if not more, than fucking Wii U. That's sad, dude.
But I think you've definitely got a major problem when EA, which is what, like, the biggest third party publisher in the whole wide world, when they refuse to be making games for your system.
Yeah,
I think there's a definite problem there.
Yeah, for a company like clicking. Nintendo, like, that's crazy.
Exactly. Something ain't clicking there, but Ah, well.
Nintendo lost all of the mojo that made them big, dude. Like, the mojo that made them big, really, to me, was the fact that it wasn't just Nintendo shit that was, like, NES was NES because they had everything, Konami, all these companies making games, dude. Contra, Metal Gear, you know, all that shit was, like, other companies. That was the advantage over Sega back in the day. Like, they lost that.
Yeah, moving into the Super Nintendo, they had all them Square Enix games.
F-Zero.
Squaresoft or whatever it was.
Square, you had all that shit, dude. Capcom, UN Squadron, all that dope shit. A lot of third-party shit was dope. Anyway.
How the times have changed.
Exactly. It's like they're trading. It's like they're playing musical chairs, and they're just sitting in, like, this time now, you know, they're sitting in Sony's chair.
Yeah.
They're just trading chairs, yo.
It just makes me sad, though. It really does, because when I was playing Zelda the other day, and I was, like, listening to the music and the menus and everything, it makes me feel so nostalgic for the company.
Right.
You know, all my past memories of them, to see where they are now, and it just makes me feel sad, because they can make great games, just fantastic games, and then you just wonder the whole business model and, like, where their head is at. It's like, what the hell's going on? What happened to you?
It's their hardware strategy is off base.
It's like,
and it's, I mean, it's like not even giving them room to make their games. Like, if you really think about it, like, if they really were a platform that had a really good third-party, like, third-party relationships and third-party software, like, that would give them even more less pressure to drop their shit. You know?
But, I mean, when does it come to a point where a company has to just admit defeat? I mean, do you think it will come to a point where Nintendo will do a Sega and say, right, we're getting out of the hardware business, we're just going to make the games?
I don't know, man. I was thinking about that earlier today. I was like, yo, if Super Mario 3D World was available on PS4, it would have been awesome. I'd have bought it.
I mean, because at the end of the day, I think Nintendo can compete in the handheld market. I mean, the 3DS is selling like hotcakes still, even over the Vita, which is more powerful and, you know, arguably got the better games, but they can't compete in the console race no more.
Not for right now.
Not if they're not going to fully embrace the online aspects of it. And I think that's what a lot of it boils down to.
I mean,
people
want to
be connected.
They have cash, but they could come in 2 years mid-generation and come out with a new system, right? I think that's probably going to happen. They're probably going to abandon Wii U in like 2 years and then just come out with a new system. That's my prediction. Either that, or they're going to just go, you know, the Sega route, not make hardware. But I don't see that happening because of the handheld stuff. Anyway, let's get into Xbox Uno.
Yeah, the Xbox One. You know what? To be honest, I'm just like, after hearing everything you got to say about the PS4, I don't feel like I've got that much to say that's entirely positive about the Xbox One.
So what? But that's good. Like, it doesn't matter if it's positive. We're here to tell the people what they need to know.
Because
some people really have, like, Christmas wishes and shit they're going to ask other people to get them, or shit they might buy for themselves. And, yo, shit is critical, man. It's $500, dude. Plus games.
Yeah.
Shit's real. Shit's real out there.
True. I mean, right, straight off the bat with the Xbox One, what I can see with the Xbox One, I can see the potential for it, you know, in the future. I can see the potential for the features of Kinect and the user interface. And I can see, by looking at games like Rise, Son of Rome, and Forza, I can definitely see the potential in the games and how graphics are going to start looking on these systems in a couple of years.
But
at this point, I think, first of all, let me get into the UI on the Xbox One. I hate it. I hate the UI. It's it's basically Windows 8, and I absolutely hate Windows 8.
Metro UI.
It's just awful, you know, with all the tiles and shit and everything you click on, it's got to open like an app. I hate that shit. It just looks so convoluted with menus within menus and this, that, and the other. I just don't like it. The Kinect, the brand new Kinect, in that sense, is a godsend, because when the Kinect works with its voice recognition, it works, and it works wonderfully. Because like, you could be in a menu within a menu somewhere, within some kind of an app, and I could turn around and say Xbox, go home, and it'll snap me right back into the main UI menu, you know. Or I could be in my friends list and checking out, you know, some people's achievements or whatnot. And instead of having to press the B button to get all the way back to the main menu, I'll press the home button and then have to mess about, you know, finding the icon for a game. I could say to the Kinect, go to such and such a game, and it will put me right into that game. Which I think is a great feature when it works. The Kinect can be quite temperamental with the voice recognition. You know, a lot of the times, you know, I'll give it a command to do and it won't hear me the first time. But then I'll say it again, still at like the same volume and still the same tone, and then it may recognize me then and do as I say. Or at times it'll just do everything I say on command, like snappy, snappy, snappy. But then other times I may say something and it'll do something completely different. So I think those are kind of things that may be able to be resolved in a patch for the Kinect, a software patch or something. But, you know, at this point, when it works, it works. But when it doesn't, it can get frustrating. And then you sat there thinking, the amount of time I've just wasted trying to input a voice control, I could have just done the whole shit on the controller.
Right.
You know, and been there in half the time. You know what I mean? Mm. So that's that. And I think talking about the actual features of the Xbox One at this point, the biggest letdown for me was the Twitch broadcasting, which I mentioned before. You know, Microsoft, obviously, that was one of the big, you know, features of the Xbox One,
yeah,
along with the PlayStation 4, the fact that you can live stream your games to Twitch.
Well, that's the shit that blew my mind when you said that it wasn't available, because they announced the whole Twitch partnership, and I was like, oh no, right?
Well, yeah, because remember, like, when they announced the PS4, yeah, it was Ustream, mm-hmm. And then Microsoft come out and said, oh yeah, and we've got Twitch partnership, and everyone was like, oh shit,
that's better, right? Because everybody knows Twitch is better than Ustream.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, because I had built all that Twitch integration into the site, and I was like, no! I was so pissed that day, dude.
But pissed. Then it was only this week, leading up to the launch, that they actually come out and said, oh yeah, by the way, we can't broadcast from the Xbox One until early 2014. That happened on, I think it was Monday.
Before launch. That's whack.
Yeah, that happened on Monday, because that's when the news broke and I made a video about it.
Yeah, because
with the launch on Friday.
Dude, think about all of this. But this is the thing that's messed up about that. Think about all the people who pre-ordered. Like, if when you place a pre-order, you're taking all the existing knowledge you have about what the product is going to deliver on, right?
Mm.
And you're saying, I want that, right? I want that. And the fact that they said it was going to be a part of the system, and then a week before it comes out, when all these pre-orders are in and people already made up their mind to say it won't, is kind of misleading. Like, it's fucked up, is what it is. And that's just that's why I can't get down with Microsoft no more, man. Because I just can't. You know what I mean? Like, how many times are they going to try to, like, double speak or promise something and
Then take it
away?
Yeah,
it's like, anything they say to me is like, I don't believe any of it anymore. Like, they don't have any credibility with me. But
yeah, I mean, it definitely came as a blow. I mean,
yeah, because you have your YouTube channel, and it's like you want to put your shit up. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like me and my cousin, obviously, me and my cousin are like big FIFA fans, and every Sunday, like him and his mum like come over to our house, and we always play FIFA. So the idea was today on Sunday was to start live streaming some FIFA on Twitch on the Xbox One. You know what I mean?
Right.
And get right into it. Then obviously the news come and we were both like, seriously?
So can you at least record it still on the system? Like, is there still capture without?
You can still use the whole DVR thing.
Right.
So like, but the Xbox One, it only records 5 minutes instead of last 15 on the PS4.
Oh fuck!
So all that's still intact, but the only place you can actually upload it to is like the actual up to your activity feed into like the Microsoft SkyDrive. So you can't upload it to Twitch. You can't upload it to Facebook or Twitter, and you can't upload it to YouTube.
Right.
So it's kind of like, well, what kind of use is
it? There's no use to it. And that's part of the, that's one of the things, and actually, you know what, let's not take Sony off the hook too, right? Because Sony with the PS4 capture, right now you can only share it on Facebook, and you can't export it to, or post it to YouTube either, right?
Mm.
You can't, so not only is it not being archived on Twitch, it's not being, you can't stream to YouTube or post your video to YouTube, kind of like how what we was doing with Just Cause 2, right? So that was functionality we thought would be available. They said it's coming though, but still, like, come on.
Yeah,
it's not that hard to do. It's been done. So,
with a whole sort of DVR kind of thing, I thought, right, I'll put it through its paces. I was playing some Killer Instinct, which is a dope game, by the way. I was playing some Killer Instinct, and I was playing this match, and it was a pretty good match so far. Okay, so I can record the last 5 minutes, which is perfect for a fighting game, because what rounds only last, what, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, whatever. So that's perfect. So when you've actually recorded like your game, you can choose to like edit it, you can like trim the video down, but you can also do the picture in picture feature. So like you can snap the screen to one side, but then you can also record yourself doing some commentary over it using the Kinect.
Right.
So like you can see yourself. So that's a really great feature. The only problem is the quality of the video playback is ass.
Really?
It's ass. I mean, I thought, right, this game's running in 720p. It's recording it. It's not being decompressed by uploading to YouTube or anywhere. It's
right.
Just as it is. And it looked horrible.
Really?
It looked really bad. It looked like... because Killer Instinct is all about the effects.
Yeah.
You know, the particles, smoke, this, that, and the other. And it looked really bad.
The one
and
thing...
Then I'm thinking, it's like, why would I use this feature when I can record via HDMI through my Elgato capture?
Right. You really wouldn't. I will say that on, before you move on, like on the PS4, when you do capture footage and you like, you can go into your profile, and then in your profile there's like a folder and you could watch your footage.
Mm.
You could tell that they're capturing the footage in 720, and it is compressed, but it doesn't look that bad. Like, it looks decent. Like, I would say out of 1 to 10, it's probably like an 8, you know, quality-wise.
I mean, to be honest, I need to try it on a couple more games, but I tried it on the Killer Instinct, and it didn't look great whatsoever.
It might have been the particles.
And I was just like, well, I have no use.
Particles compress really poorly.
But then it was like, well, the fact that obviously I can record through HDMI on the Xbox One, I can just keep my Elgato constantly plugged up to my laptop, which is usually on anyway when I game.
Right.
And I can hit the record feature. And obviously the Elgato has that thing where you can go back in time and, you know, record what you need to if you miss something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, I really have no use for this feature at the moment if I can't live stream to Twitch.
Right.
So that's really disappointing. A couple of other things about, you know, you have to install the apps. One of the things I found really interesting is that the Xbox One is now a Blu-ray player as well.
Right.
But you actually have to download and install an app for the Blu-ray player in order for it to patch through the software to use it as a Blu-ray player to watch movies on. I found that really strange. Like,
maybe,
why am I?
Maybe,
do I have to download the ability to actually watch a Blu-ray?
I think I was thinking about that earlier. I think it might be because they have to pay less money. Because if you think about it, they have to pay. You know, those technologies like Dolby, including Dolby in your machine, including Blu-ray playback, they have to actually pay Sony a licensing fee to use the patent or whatever. So if they don't ship it on the consoles, right, they don't have to pay a per console fee for that functionality. They could basically do an audit and say, okay, well, only this many people downloaded the application, so which is going to be less than the amount of people that got the console, so they can kind of get around it that way, right?
Right.
And then you figure the only people who are going to probably download it are people that are going to use it, so they could even go one step further and say, well, only this amount of people actually used it, so they're going to end up spending a lot less money for that license, right? Because it's not shipping with the consoles.
Right.
So people who never use a Blu-ray ever, probably, you know, for that kind of functionality, they don't have to pay that. So I think that's what it's all about.
So, yeah, that makes sense. But I definitely found it interesting that I had to actually do that. And then another thing is the fact that every time you... Well, when you load a disc in for the first time, you have to wait for it to install. It's a mandatory install. I really don't like that shit. I mean, it'll install a certain part of it, and I think it does this on the PS4, install a certain amount of data, and then you can start playing it. But that shit is just so annoying to me.
Yeah.
It's like, how quickly am I going to use up space when every disc I buy has to be installed onto the hard drive?
Right, and you can't... You can't replace the Xbox One hard drive, right? You can use an external, but
yeah.
And one of the things I was thinking about in terms of the PS4 one was that, like, so they have the thing where once you hit your limit, it'll overwrite old stuff, right? It'll overwrite old game install data without asking you or whatever. It'll, you know, that's apparently how it works. So once you hit your limit, it'll say, okay, it'll pick the stuff that you're probably using the least and delete that. Of course, your saves are all saved to the cloud, so you don't really have to worry about that. So that's kind of how that works. And there's apparently some drives that are coming out in a few months, within the next couple months or so, that are going to be the, like, 1.5 terabyte drives. So I'm kind of holding out to see, you know, when those come out, and also to see some tests on what's the best one to get. So I would say to anybody, like, honestly, there's not enough games for you to, like, fill up your... Like, you're not going to fill up 500 gigs between now and January? On what? Like, what are you going to fill up 500 gigs with? I don't even think there's enough games to, like, do that with. So I would say it's probably best to just, like, wait and see, you know, if Samsung or whoever, I forgot what company is dropping that 1.5 terabyte drive, and just to wait out and see what, you know, all of the Digital Foundry tests and stuff. I saw some preliminary tests that were talking about, there's some drives that really cut down the loading speeds by, like, less than half. So, it's cause to wait, and it'll be interesting to see how all of that shakes out in terms of space and, like, both systems. Like, 500 is not going to be enough for either. I mean, that's just my hunch.
But there's another interesting another interesting aspect to the Xbox One. I can't even find where my memory storage is.
Oh,
I can't,
yeah.
Like,
you can't.
I can't seem to find where it says how much disk space I have left.
That's because there's no part in the UI for it.
But isn't that crazy? It's like,
yeah, you can't access it because it doesn't exist. I heard that on the Giant Bomb podcast.
How can you not let me know how much space I have left on this system?
Because
you know, it's like, it makes no sense to me.
Fuck you, Scott. Don't fuck about you.
Anyway, so yeah, I've got definite problems with the UI. But
what about ads? What about ads? Is there a lot of ads on it? Because that was my biggest gripe with the Xbox 360.
To be honest, not on the main page. Not on the main page. Like, you have your main page where it has like a couple of like what they call pins, I guess they call them. And that'll house like a couple of icons, like where you can go to your friends list. You can go to the last played game, your achievements and everything. But then if you scroll over to the window to the right, then that'll be where you can access like the music store, the video store, and the app store.
Right.
And obviously, when you go into them, then there is all different kind of ads, but it keeps it clean on the main page where you're going to spend the most of your time. It keeps it free of different advertisements.
So does it seem like it's a machine for gaming, or what is the vibe you get? Because my impressions based on what they've said and shown is that their games is really, it's as much of a game thing as it is a media home thing. Like, so how does it feel as a machine? Like, what's the deal with it?
It's definitely a big media hub. I mean, you can just get that sense of it. But that's not to say that the games take a backseat to it. You know, I mean, there's areas for games, there's areas for movies, music, and all different kind of apps. But I think it's a definite entertainment machine rather than just a video game console. They're trying to integrate everything. And a few of the features that are the most interesting is like the snap feature. So basically you could be playing a game and then snap a window on the side where you could be like watching like TV or doing some other shit into it as well. So you have all that. Which I find pretty cool. A few things that I tried with it that wasn't really working though, is like, I can't play a game, or at least not yet, I can't play a game, snap open a window and have like Skype running, have like a video chat in Skype running.
Right.
Which I think would have been dope.
Isn't that what they kind of said you were going to be able to do though?
Well, I hope so, but I've been trying it. I can't like say Xbox snap the window and then try to go into Skype and have it all working that way, but you can't seem to do that at this moment in time.
Have you been able to watch football while you play a game?
Like, no,
watching FIFA, playing FIFA and watching a football game?
No, but that's only because I don't have the Xbox One downstairs where like the satellite dishes and everything, okay. So it all needs to be connected up through the HDMI.
Right.
So if I move the box downstairs, then I would be able to do that. But because obviously it's upstairs and the cable box and whatnot isn't up here, I can't connect them to each other. But it's something I'm thinking about doing. But then again, I don't want to be downstairs in front of people and talking to my Xbox through the Kinect. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So
Xbox, pause.
But I mean, in terms of that Kinect control, I have been having a lot of fun with it. Like I said, when it works, it works. Like you can put it into sleep mode, and then you know I can walk out the room, come back up a few hours later, and just say Xbox on without even having to pick up the controller, and it'll turn on and sign me in. You know, so. You know, if you've put your controller down somewhere and you're looking for it, at least you can get everything started up without even having to touch a controller. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're like, you can snap through the whole interface with just your voice. So, you know, I can put Netflix on. I can go into the Bing search bar, I can search for games just using my voice. So if I wanted to search for a game in the game store, I can use the Xbox Bing, and then I can just like say the title of a game and it will snap to that game. You know, so it makes it a whole lot easier without having to search through pages and pages or going through an alphabetical list.
So let's get to the games.
One particular game.
Let's get to the games. So what games do you have? What have you played?
I have Forza Motorsport 5, which, to be honest, I don't really know why I bought it other than a sort of showcase piece for the hardware. I've never been a fan of Forza. I'm not really a big, like, driving sim kind of guy.
Right.
You know, I think Gran Turismo's okay, but I'd much rather play an arcade racer like Need for Speed or Motorstorm.
Right.
But Forza,
yeah,
looks great. It's 1080p and 60 frames per second. A lot of detail on the cars. The draw distance is really, really good, and it's just so smooth because at 60 frames per second, you know, it definitely feels like you were saying for Need for Speed, you have that sense of speed.
Right.
You know, you get that with Forza, you know, and all the little nuances with the lighting and the effects and all that going on. It's a really great looking game. And what else I like about it is the new Xbox One controller. It has like the rumble feedback in the actual triggers, so you're actually getting some feedback from the car as well in your fingers when you're actually playing, just through holding down the trigger.
Right.
You know, so you're getting that feedback. I've not played too much of it, but the tracks look and feel great, and the cars obviously look amazing. And it's a fun game up to now. FIFA 14, which is where I've spent the most of my time, looks amazing. It really does. The graphical leap from current gen to next gen, to me, honestly, is really, really significant. That, again, runs at 1080p and 60 frames per second. Like, on the current gen systems, because of like the size of the stadiums you're playing, when it had like a crowd shot, it was like really, really pixelated. But now each member of the crowd is rendered out and it looks crisp, and it just looks really, really decent this time around. Kind of like you know when you see videos of like NBA 2K, how it's quite close to the court and you can see the crowd around it,
right?
And they actually look pretty decent. Well, they never had that in FIFA on the current gen. It was all really pixelated and looked really bad. But they've now been able to implement that kind of graphical quality into the game, so it looked a whole lot better this time around. So I've been playing, obviously, a lot of FIFA. Rise, Son of Rome is, I think, a definite technical showcase. I've never seen like facial animations like it. This game's running in 900p, 30 frames per second, made by Crytek, obviously from Crysis. Gameplay-wise, it's not the greatest game. I kind of get sort of a God of War vibe from it. It's a whole lot of like arenas where you're overrun by enemies, you know, and you just got to take them out and then run to the next place. So gameplay-wise, it's not that great. Story-wise, I don't really know what's going on other than the main character. You know, you witness his father get murdered at the end, and you're sort of on like a revenge-type mission. But it looks great. You know, the water effects, the lighting, and like I say, just the animation of the character and the facial animations look spectacular. That's why I'm like, I can see the potential that we're going to get, and so early, obviously around the launch, I can only imagine what it's going to be like in a few years' time. Dead Rising 3 is not that great, if I'm being brutally honest. I'm sure Dead Rising 3 was supposed to have been a 360 game, but then they decided to put it on the Xbox One. It looks like a 360 game, if I'm being honest, like a late life cycle 360 game. But the only next gen thing about it is the amount of enemies you can have, well, the amount of zombies you can have on screen at any one time. There's like literally you can have hundreds of them at one time getting surrounded by them, which you couldn't really do on the other systems. So I mean, it's a fun game, you know. It's quite quirky in the fact that you can, you know, do all sorts of combinations of weapons. You can run around with, you know, cooking pans and killing zombies with pans and, you know, mops and shit like that. So it's kind of quirky and stupid in that sense. And what other games I've been playing? Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct is dope. You know, Killer Instinct is a really, really great fighting game. And I think if we all had an Xbox One and we'd all be playing it and pulling off them crazy ass combos, would there be a whole lot of laughs. My biggest gripe with that game, though, at the moment is the fact that I'm using a controller to play it. And I know I'd definitely benefit from using a fight stick, but the fact that Killer Instinct is the only fighting game out on the Xbox One, and the price of the Madcat's fight stick is like £180.
Shit.
Kind of like, well, I ain't paying that for a brand new stick to play one game on. You know what I mean?
Right.
The fact that I can't use my 360 stick on the Xbox One is completely bewildering, and now I need to buy a brand new stick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bewildering the fact that Injustice didn't come out on the Xbox One, but yet it's out on the PS4.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, it's not out on the Xbox One. It's not coming to the Xbox One. That's bewildering to me. If that game had come out on the Xbox One, I probably would have picked it up as well as a fight stick, you know, and then I would have had Killer Instinct as well. But I can't justify buying a brand new fight stick for one game. You know what I mean? But Killer Instinct, like I say, it's a whole lot of fun. I think the fact that it doesn't contain an arcade mode kind of hurts it. Like, you can jump into doing the trials and everything with your characters and then jump online, but to me, it's not really enough just to do a couple of trials and then jump straight into the online and play against other people, you know, who go at it, like, you know, who'll be playing this game, like, religiously, you know what I mean? Whereas when I was making videos for YouTube, I kind of just was hoping there was an arcade mode so I could like show off the game a bit without embarrassing myself and getting, you know, battered online. But hey ho. But it's a really enjoyable game. Really enjoyable. It's one that when I finally do get a fight stick, I'll be back on it a whole lot more.
You know that Ultra Super Street Fighter 4 is going to be on these systems, like...
Yeah, exactly.
With
so that's where
Mad Cat's right behind them talking about, oh, we got these new fight sticks. You already know that's in the works. I mean, there's no way Capcom is going to not do that, because they're just not, you know? It's an easy way for them to jump into the new generation, like...
Definitely, and Ryu has already been appearing in them PS4 ads, so it just kind of makes me think, well, it's got to be on its way.
Right.
And then I think the last game I've been playing is a game called Power Star Golf, which kind of just reminds me of Everybody's Golf on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of quirky in that sense, just like a fun golf game with lots to unlock, you know, you're constantly gaining XP and it makes you just want to play. It's a really enjoyable golf game. And I think that's about it, to be honest. I didn't buy any third-party games because I'm getting them for the PS4. So, like, Call of Duty and Battlefield, I've not had any sort of input on them, or Need for Speed or anything like that. So, I'm just... It looks to me like the Xbox One is going to be the place where I use it mainly for the exclusives. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
because obviously at this point the PS4 on exclusives and multi-platform seems to be outperforming what the Xbox One can do. So the majority of multiplats will go to the PS4 for the time being.
Right, because it's seemingly the more powerful console.
Yeah.
Right.
But like I say, I mean, when you see Rise, and like, not just from a YouTube video, but you're actually seeing it there, and you're playing it, the game does look like super, super dope. And this was supposed to have been that Xbox Kinect exclusive game that Crytek we were going to release on 360,
right.
But they've brought it to the Xbox One. It does have Kinect features like voice commands, but obviously it's not all motion and all that bullshit. You are physically playing with the controller. And like I say, it's not a great game in terms of the gameplay, but from the graphical quality,
looks awesome. Does it plays like shit?
Well, it doesn't play like shit. It's just not a very interesting game. You know what I mean? It's kind of like just doing the same shit. I mean, it's responsive, the combat's fun, but there's nothing really more to it than its visuals. You know, it's like the visuals are great, but then the in between that is kind of like, meh, you know.
Right. Meh.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, my thoughts on the Xbox One is, you know, like we said, as positive as maybe the PS4 is going to be. But then again, like I say, I didn't buy any third party games, so. I know Need for Speed is pretty much identical to what the PS4 is. It runs at 1080p, 30 frames.
Well, Digital Foundry said it was a little better on PS3. A little bit.
Well, that's the version I'm getting anyway on the PS4. So
yeah, they have a analysis. You can search it. Dorito it. Google it shit.
But yes, yeah, so like I say, overall I'm more excited about the potential of the Xbox One than I am about the here and now.
Right.
You know.
Oops.
I think when Halo 4 comes out, it's gonna be a whole different thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, provided it's better than the last one, because I feel like Halo 4 got it. Looked awesome, you know, but I think that a lot of people, it didn't resonate as, it didn't have the kind of legs that the other ones had, right, with the core audience. Like, I think a lot of people, like, played it, and then they were like, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately for the game.
And I hope Titanfall is going to live up to the hype as well. I'm just hoping that with Titanfall they can bump up that resolution from 720p. So even if it's 900p, I think it'd make a difference, because when I was at the, I'm not even sure if I spoke about it. No. I didn't. I wrote about it, but when I was at the Xbox One tour in Manchester on Tuesday, it was. I did actually get to play Battlefield and Call of Duty on the Xbox One, and they were both running in 720p.
Damn.
And they didn't look good. They didn't look great.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think, and the rumors were circulating around that Titanfall is also going to be running at 720p on the Xbox One. Hoping that's not going to be the case, considering it doesn't come out until March. But we'll see, because that obviously Titanfall is like that killer app everyone's hoping for.
Yeah, right. It, you know, right.
The fact that it's exclusive.
It's stupid.
Well, exclusive to the Xbox One console, but coming to PC
I think fucking. I saw an article online yesterday. I think it was Polygon or Kotaku. I don't remember. Talking about how they think, like, what the fuck is it's Activision, right? What the fuck is Activision doing? No, not Activision. It's EA, right?
Mm. Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, you know, why would you make that game just on Xbox One, man? Like, and especially if Xbox One is the loser? Like, if you're trying to, basically, they're saying, like, yo, if the theory or the thought or the idea was to make Titanfall the next Call of Duty, the worst thing you could have done is make it a platform exclusive. Right? Because it's never going to get, it's going to start off at a deficit or a disadvantage in terms of getting the buzz and mindshare that a game like Call of Duty, a game to be the Call of Duty killer replacement needs to, like, gain the momentum. Right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what the fuck, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's kind of what they were trying to say, basically. And I was like, you know what? That makes sense. But so
definitely. Yeah. I mean, it could work into Microsoft's favor, definitely, as long as they get it right. As long as it works out right. You know, I mean, Halo still got a lot of loyal fans. Gears of War still got a lot of loyal fans. You know, maybe Titanfall could be that next game, but whether or not this Titanfall is going to be exclusive, depending on how well this does, and then maybe Titanfall 2 and 3, are they going to be exclusive? I mean, I don't think there's been any mention that the Titanfall brand is going to be, you know, a lifelong exclusive to Microsoft.
Right.
This particular game is going to be exclusive, but not the brand.
Right.
You know, so
we'll
see. Who knows? We'll definitely see. But yeah, like I say, there's definitely potential there. There's potential for the PS4. There's going to be potential for the Xbox One.
Right.
You know, so it's, the only thing is, I'm kind of like, other than Titanfall coming out in March, I'm kind of like thinking, well, what games are coming out for the Xbox up until then? You know what I mean? It's like, what am I waiting for? But then again, I guess the same could be said for the PS4, because I think after the launch titles, is there anything coming out other than Infamous in March? I'm not too sure. I don't think there's anything leading up to that game.
Yeah.
Like, I know of,
well,
but
you mean, well, Infamous?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, other than Xbox? These launch titles, I don't think the PS4 has got a major game coming out until March.
Right.
You know, whereas, again, like the Xbox One hasn't got a major game coming out until March with Titanfall. So, right. You know, that's two big heavy hitters right there coming out in March.
Right. I don't know. I know,
that's both
kinda
them
crazy.
Games, because come March I'll be on the PS3 playing Dark Souls 2. So,
I feel sorry for the games getting lost in the shuffle, like Lords of Shadow 2.
Oh no! Yeah, that,
Gran Turismo.
That game come. You know, Lords of Shadow 6? 2 comes out the 28th of February.
Oh, they pushed it. Okay.
Comes out, yeah, the 28th of February, which is my birthday, so that's gonna be my birthday present. And yeah, I feel sorry for Lords of Shadow, because I think it's definitely going to get missed, I think, by a lot of people who sold their PS3 because they've now got a PS4 and, you know, whatnot. So I hope it does well. I hope it does well.
We'll see. That's for sure. So, let's just wrap it up. Talk about what we've been. Well, we talked about what we've been playing. Have you been playing anything that we haven't talked about?
Tearaway.
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 Hit it.
I love Tearaway. I really don't know what is going on in Tearaway. I'm a little cardboard man who's on a mission to deliver a message to this entity that appears up in the sky in the sun. You know, it's that's basically it. The game starts off, you're this little cardboard man, and the object of the sun in the sky is actually a picture of you. The sun is the actual, like, camera, and it shows your face. So this little cardboard man is on a mission to deliver a message to you, or to me. It's kind of weird, but it's like really, really charming, really quirky, beautiful graphics, beautiful music. You know, it's Media Molecule, so you can expect it to be cute.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm just really, really enjoying it. In fact, I actually... Well, when did I get the game? I got the game yesterday, and I played it all day.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you think I would like it?
I don't know, because whenever you ask me that kind of question, I always kind of thinking, would Brooke like this? Because I know he's very action-orientated, you know, so I always kind of get that wrong. But then again, you enjoyed Little Big Planet, and it's a fun, quirky platformer-type game, really creative. So, and it's cheap as well. I think it's, what, £20 over here it was? And I'm having a lot of fun of it. I had enough fun of it to choose to play Tearaway over a brand new Xbox One console.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, yo, this game's great. You know? So, I'm definitely enjoying Tearaway. I think it's a great game. You know, and like I say, for the price of it, I think they done a really good job. It's nice and creative.
All right.
So,
all right. Well, any other things about that game before we wrap it up?
Nope.
Okay. So, you know, obviously, we'll as we spend more time about. Some time with these games and these systems, you know, we'll have more insight and stuff like that. You know, this is first week. And our opinions were definitely evolving. I know the first day I was definitely like, what the fuck? And now I'm like, yo, this is kind of really cool. So I would say definitely stay tuned to the chat that we have going on and stay tuned. That's what I would have to say. So check us on BrooklynKing.com. Scat, what's your YouTube channel?
Scatinio9.
Scatinio9 on YouTube. Twitter at Brooklyn. I don't even know my own Twitter handle. I think it's at Brooklyn. Oh no. Catch me on Twitter. Catch Scato. You're Scatinio1 on Twitter, right? At Scatinio1.
Yeah.
BrooklynKing.com. And we are Ghost.
Peace.
What you doing on our turf, punk?
Got a message for Smokey.
Give it.
You a Smokey man?
Give it.
If you ain't Smokey, ain't your motherfucking message.
Motherfucker, I said give me the message.
It's from Willie in the slam.
Nigga, you been busted.
Yeah, the man picked me up.
Well, I ain't got no fucking time to play with you. Now give me the message.
Willie's in Warwick. Doing 1-3. Told me to tell your motherfuckers to keep cool. He'd be out one way or another. Quick. Maybe I could stick around for a while.
No, that's out, man. You know, what can we, the lords, do with a punk like you?
Kiss my ass, motherfucker.
Burn him.
Just me and you, motherfucker. Just me and you. I put trademarks around your fucking eyes.
Gambino niggas who swipe this, deluxe rap cavaliers, bitches who steal beers, give them this, sit back, jollying, my team be gaming like three club rallying, drug Somalians, rallying, nitty rap, stay close, shaying, ayo, iron, these niggas portraying, but happy paying, for real, slide on these niggas like fresh beer, Caesar face now, usually tough grenade, throw play, fuck getting laid, guzzle this shit, like Gatorade, big day, wallies have never half sway, connected with the high stylist, stunt, light up a chalice, I run with nothing but the wildest phallus, come on now, long dick style, niggas. On the hit out, ayo, I ain't right, my sit out. Eventually, bust a rap gun mentally. But doing this century, kid, just meant to be. Get on your knees and bless me with a gym in the Caribbean. Skiing off white beam. Snatch Canadian cream with Scandinavians. Palladium style, play it like 32 Arabians. The greatest lesson is don't owe. You might get stolen when I go bury me with below on.
Calling me, let me get mine first. After I get mine, let me do what you want to do. fuck them up bad.
Showing up, hit the bank and thrust. Who know it? Cause Jamie Summer got trained on the tour bus. We upgrade, swallow raw eggs. Read the label, hitting white label. Like the Winnebago unstable, smooth sailing. Walked in, my earth start kneeling, started stealing. I'm too ill, she was villain at the ball. They kicked up, Mac, Max Motion. Michael Bolton, magazine quote, I'm too potent. Louisville, mixed pink, kill rap. Fuck Benadryl, a violin, and Alice Guard sounding ill. Tremendously obnoxious, no blotches. My telephone watch, a lead bartender's topless. Dead on the prosecutor, smack the juror. Me and my girl to run like Luke and Laura. We sit back on Malayan Allen's, sipping mixed drinks out of broke coconut bowls. We rallying.
Sit back, jollying.